Hi, this is James Lawther, and welcome back to part 3 of the Kickstart. And this section is called The Game. In this part of the Kickstart, we'll start to talk through the actual event itself and how it works. And the objective of the game is to get your team engaged in service improvement by playing a simple game. And that will energise them and show them the simple rules which ensure that you will improve your service. Now, at the risk of boring you to death, there is a PowerPoint presentation that goes along with the event, but you don't have to use it. There are only a few slides, and they don't have many words on them. So, if you're like me, and you like to have a crutch whilst you're presenting anything, it can be really useful. But as I said, you don't need it. You can download it from the website, and it's called Balloons Incorporated. As we go through the mechanics of the event, what I'll do is I'll step you through the individual slides, simply so that you can understand how the whole thing hangs together. And to help you get your mind around it, I really would recommend that you print out the presentation using the print notes command, because I've put facilitation notes at the bottom of each page. Then what you can do, print it out, put it in a folder, and scribble on it to your heart's content. And then it'll be your own record of how to take things forward. In terms of the timetable, the event's a bit like a good recipe. There aren't really any hard and fast quantities for ingredients. It all depends on who you've got present, how it's going, what the subject matter is, how contentious or interesting the debate becomes. You can decide to skip things and add things as you see fit. However, as a starting point, I suggest you take about 3 hours and split the time up. Roughly speaking, you'll need an hour for a game, half an hour for the second stage, which is feedback on the current performance and working through your business process diagram, and an hour and a half to generate improvement ideas. Now that's all detailed out on the website, and also there's a potential timetable on the back of the presentation. And remember, you really don't have to use it rigidly. There's always going to be an element of suck and see. It's just a good starting guideline. So let's move on to the game. The purpose of the game is threefold. Energize the group, get them thinking about service improvement and what they could do differently, and also to show how powerful an impact on employee engagement service improvement can have. By the end of the game, they should already be buzzing about what they could do differently. Now, if you crack open the PowerPoint and move on to slide 1, what I'll do is I'll talk you through each slide by slide. So slide 1, you need to get everybody in a large room. Ideally, you'd like them seated around a number of tables, reasonably spread out. It's possible you can use other layouts, for example, the U-shape facing the presenter, but the more spread out and random the seating pattern is, the better it will be. At this point, you'll need your flip chart and a handful of pens, a packet of balloons, most important than that, and some stopwatches. Now, the aim of this slide is simply to introduce people to the game. Tell them they're going to play a process improvement game, and then for the next 30 minutes or so, they work for a different organisation, Balloons Incorporated. Now, you're their new boss, and they have to pay attention to you, otherwise there is a risk of instant dismissal. You'll also need people to time the game, because it's all about speed. So pick a supervisor for each group. I always play it for laughs. If you know somebody's going to engage, choose them. You'll need one supervisor for about 15 people, or whatever their natural work groups are. Now moving on to slide 2, this one's called How We Make Money. And at this stage, all you're going to do is explain the basic premise of the game and their role within it. So, tell them that you're in the market for balloon entertainment, or something like that, and that your company produces the world's premium balloons. Your USP, unique selling point, is that your balloons have a special electrostatic charge applied to them, and that gives them this fantastic luminescence, and that's what sets them apart from the competition. Now this charge is applied by hand, and every employee adds the charge as they pass or bat the balloon to one another. You can of course demonstrate this by passing the balloon or hitting it at somebody. And the balloons are individually charged by making sure that everybody touches every balloon once. And this is really important because you get the precise electrostatic charge that's needed. And finally, their role is one of balloon handling technician. And their job is to pass the balloon around and make sure that it's properly charged. Simple. Now to be honest with you, it's a load of old baloney. You can make the story as complicated or as easy as you like. just so long as you get people to realise that their job is that they have to pass the balloon from one to another. Now, slide 3 is entitled How We Lose It. Right, the key point here is that time is money, and that this isn't a charity, this really is a proper business, and their job is to pass the balloon as quickly as possible. Now, I'll pile on the pressure at this point. I'll make the point that I could easily outsource these jobs, and that there are plenty of people who would like to have the job of a balloon handling technician. Doesn't matter what you do, just make sure people realise they've got to be quick. And at this point, give each supervisor a stopwatch so they can time each team's performance. Slide 4 is entitled Health and Safety. And really what this slide is about is introducing some constraints to the game. Otherwise it'll be far too easy for people to achieve what you've set out to do. So the constraints are things they'll have to work about. There are 4 constraints. Now I normally position them as health and safety issues. But what they are is, everybody must remain seated, because this reduces the impact of unplanned collisions. Nobody can hold on to a balloon, because holding a balloon could cause excess electrostatic charge buildup and it'll blow up in your face. Everybody must touch the balloon, but they can only touch it once. Now, the point here is that they're being paid to charge the balloon, and it's really important that they give it exactly the right amount of charge. So if anybody touches it more than once, they'll give too much and an explosion. Somebody's bound to say, "Well, what if I touch it twice and my friend doesn't touch it at all?" And if that happens, feel free to point out that they're just a smart mouth and they should do as they're told. You've got to stamp your authority on it. You've got to remember who's boss. And the 4th constraint is the balloon must keep moving. If the balloon stays still, it will react with whatever it's resting on and burst into flames. And this is really expensive because people could die and recruitment's really expensive. Now, just a side note. At this point, you're probably thinking to yourself, crikey, there's a lot to remember here. It all looks a bit complicated and what have I left myself in for? But just remember, you can print off the presentation. It's got a notes page, so if you go hit the Microsoft button, hit print what, and then the notes pages, and print that off. You can scribble on it to your heart's content, and it'll make life ever so much easier for you to remember all of this. Now, time to start round 1. What the team should do is pass the balloon around so that everybody touches it as quickly as possible. And of course what will happen is it will just float and bounce haphazardly around the room and take ages to get round. Once each balloon has finished its round and everybody's touched it, get your timings from the supervisor. Of course some of your supervisors will be too stupid to have worked out how the stopwatch works, and that will give you the opportunity to give them a suitable dressing down. I like to play the manager from hell role to the hilt. Write those timings down, and if there isn't one, improvise, because things won't be as smooth as they could have been. Then ask for an honest show of hands. How many of the people did not touch the balloon, or how many people touched the balloon more than once? These balloons weren't processed properly, and it's worth making the point that those are quality errors. When you look at the overall performance, it'll be a bit shoddy, so express your dissatisfaction. It was slow, expensive, and the quality achieved was appalling. Slide 5 is called Employee Targets. The point of this part of the game is to show that a lot of management initiatives really aren't necessarily all that appropriate, particularly if they don't understand the operation that they're applying them to. So tell the group that what you've done is you've employed some highly paid management consultants. And what they've done after careful analysis has shown you that the problem is that the time between balloon touches is too long. Now obviously, this could be resolved by increasing the balloon velocity between touches, or to put it slightly differently, hitting the balloon harder. And you can demonstrate this by giving the balloon a really hard smack. It's worth pointing out to your audience that what you're trying to do is facilitate cultural change. And so to do that, you've improved your employee incentive scheme. And you've added a bonus for the biggest, hardest hitting team. And this is where your box of sweets comes in, so flash that around so everybody gets the idea. Now, start round 2 again. And as with round 1, get the team to pass the balloon around so that everybody touches it. But make sure that you really urge the teams to hit the balloon, really smack it, and the balloon's motion will be far less controlled, and the reality of the situation is it'll take a whole lot longer than it did before. Right, get quite excited about performance, and hand out the incentive, your box of sweets, to the best performing team, and praise them for a job well done. And then finally, when you've gone through that little pantomime, get the timings from each supervisor. Write them down and compare them to the previous run. So it is highly unlikely that your results will show what's known as a staggering improvement. You can get all managerial about it, you can express your dissatisfaction, and at the very least you can go and grab your box of sweets back. Slide 6 is the third and final round. At this stage, it's time to get the audience thinking about what they can do to improve performance themselves. Tell them that this is the final round, and that you've been out and about and doing some benchmarking. And this showed that some operations were able to get everybody to touch the balloon in less than 5 seconds. It's important to make sure that they realise that the health and safety rules still remain in place, and then give them something like 5 minutes to think about how they want to improve their own process. You will, of course, be open for consultation during those 5 minutes if they need you. Then, let the teams discuss their strategy and answer the team's questions, but don't give out further information unless specifically asked for it. You want the teams to challenge their own assumptions about the way in which things really should be done. The only thing that is important is that the constraints are followed to the letter. No more and no less. So, for example, everybody must remain seated, but there's nothing stopping them at all from moving their chairs to wherever they want to put them. Now, as the deadline approaches, they'll be shilly-shallying about, so apply some pressure, and when you're ready, create a bit more competition by letting each team go individually and recording their results. Oh, just a side point here, of course, if you've got a small group, you can do this with one team. It'll prove the same point, you just don't get the competition between groups. Then, whatever happens, a round of applause for the winning team never hurts. Now, with luck, your teams will have made a significant reduction in the time taken. I've never done this and not seen it get massively better. However, if you do have the group from hell on your hands, there's always plan B, which is to run a fourth and final round after giving some tips what to do. The best way I've ever seen this done is the teams will form a line with their chairs, and they'll put the chairs so they're facing alternately, a bit like a giant zip. Then each member will sit on their chair and arch forward with their hands on their knees, and that creates a sort of giant tube. And once you've got that tube, that will contain the balloon, and all they have to do is bash the balloon through that tube as quickly as possible. And of course, once you're doing that, all your health and safety rules will be met. Maybe not quite to the letter, but you take my point. Now, slide 7 is the end of the game, and this is kind of the real point. What did they learn from it? You're not really out there to make them look fools. They're supposed to have learned something from it. So ask a couple of open questions like, what do you learn? And what was the point of that exercise? And start to see where the conversation runs to. So one of the key points is that as long as there's a clear purpose or goal, process improvement's really quite simple because you know where you're headed. In this case, it was getting everybody to touch the balloon and move it through as quickly as possible. The question is, I suppose, what's their purpose at work? Is it as clear as in the balloon game, and does everybody agree to it? Another thing that may well come up is that to really understand what's going on, you need to go and look at the process, and not just sit back and look at reports and data. And I hope the Hit It Harder exercise demonstrates that. So the next question, I suppose, is, can they think of any examples at work where they are asked to do things which are obviously stupid? Yeah, and misplaced. And what were they? Another point about measures is that you need to focus your measures on the right thing. So looking at the speed of hitting the balloon clearly doesn't work for you. It's the total end-to-end time that you're interested in. And if you put targets around the wrong measures, then as you can see, you can end up with something which really isn't the desired outcome at all. Now on the subject of targets, worth asking them what their targets are and what behaviour that drives. I bet they don't have anything stupid that they do. But what's worse still is that people will do what you ask them to do, even if they realise it's stupid. So give them the opportunity to talk about what those things are. I've discussed this point before, but people who do the job know the job best of all, and that shows up here. And the final thought that goes through my mind is that, as I said, fixing processes is simply a matter of fixing things that don't work. Which then leads to the question, do things work where you work? And get some examples of the things that could be done better. The whole point of this section is to relate the game back to their work environment. The last thing to do is ask them how they felt about the whole exercise. At this point, people are usually hugely engaged and they'll be buzzing. So make the point that fixing processes and making things work can be a really rewarding activity. Now, I've met loads of Six Sigma black belts and lean gurus in my time, and most of them are as dull as dishwater. And I really don't understand why. Because as you can see, it can be a really rewarding activity. If you'd like, you can start a debate about lean thinking and waste. And there's a short PDF presentation about waste that you can download on the website. If you want to learn more, there's a link which I really think you should have a look at, which is for the Lean Enterprise Institute. And once again, that link's on the website. And one final point. Sorry if I'm teaching you to suck eggs, but it's really important. As the discussion progresses, make sure you tie it back to everyday work so it's really clear what the parallels are. Although I'm sorry, and I know I've pointed that out already, but that's where the real learning happens, when people start to relate what they've been doing to their day-to-day activity. So that's the end of part 3. Thank you very much for listening. In part 4, we'll start talking about generating some proper improvement in activities of yourself. Thank you.